Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. It really is staggering if you think about the amount of lives lost to coronavirus this week. Thousands of lives lost every day. And we're all sort of trying to figure out how to come to terms with that. At the same time, you know, a week where we're getting FDA approval for the vaccine. So this week, we hear Democratic perspective and Republican perspective of where we go forward. We begin with Congressman Adam Schiff of Burbank, one of the best known and most frequent guests here on the show. And then we have some new faces, Michelle Steele, newly elected in Orange County, and David Valadao from the San Joaquin Valley, newly elected. He was in Congress, lost his seat to T.J. Cox in 2018. Now he's won his seat back. Both of them among the four Republicans who flipped seats. There had not been a Republican who had flipped a seat in California from red to blue, or from blue to red, in decades. And four of them did it this time. We'll talk about that in a moment. But we begin with Adam Schiff and the latest on the negotiations for coronavirus relief.
We've done the math, Congressman. This is your 10th appearance on our show, the first politician in double digits. Thanks for coming on since our very first show. We appreciate the loyalty. Welcome back to The Issue Is.
Great to be with you.
All right. So on the congressional negotiations for relief, there's so much need for relief. Where are we at in terms of actually getting something done?
Well, I thought we were very close on a bipartisan basis in the Senate. A number of Republicans and Democrats got together and hammered out a deal that would provide a lot less aid than I would like to see, but nonetheless a sound compromise. I support it. The Democratic leadership in the House supports it. But Mitch McConnell threw cold water on that yesterday for reasons that are difficult to understand, given the pressing need right now. So that's thrown us into disarray because I thought we had a pretty darn good bipartisan compromise. And I hope that we can persuade Mitch McConnell to get on board and get help to the American people, because we're in a dire situation, as you point out. People need the help. Businesses are going to close potentially for good if they don't get it right now. Unemployment compensation is running out. So this has to get done. I'm at the office, as you can see. I'm going to do everything I can. I don't think anybody should leave town until this is done.
So what would a potential deal actually look like? What specifically would that mean for your constituents that are watching?
Well, it would mean for constituents who are running out of unemployment compensation or already run out that they would get more unemployment compensation for the duration until they can get back to work. It would mean, I hope, that we can provide help to renters to keep a roof over their head. It would mean replenishing the PPP funds for small businesses so that small businesses can weather this storm, so many of whom are just not able to do business right now. And it would also mean that we would provide help to states and cities so they don't have to do massive layoffs of teachers and police and firefighters. And perhaps most significantly, as we go to roll out this vaccine, we're going to need the help of the states and local governments to vaccinate people. So that's, I think, generally what these packages would do.
What do you say to people that say it is outrageous that Congress has not gotten something done yet on this?
Oh, I completely agree. And in the House, we passed legislation 6 months ago to get this done. It sat on Mitch McConnell's desk for almost half a year. Now, you know, many of us on a bipartisan basis have come to agreement, but Mitch McConnell is holding it up. So I completely understand the frustration. I think they need to weigh in all over the country with Mr. McConnell, let him know people are suffering and he needs to, if he can't be constructive, he needs to get out of the way.
Of course, a lot of the Republicans put the blame on Nancy Pelosi during all of this. But I think what this is also proof of is that those elections in Georgia matter even more in terms of how business is going to get done. There's a big difference between Chuck Schumer leading the Senate or Mitch McConnell leading the Senate as well. All right. Let's talk for a moment about what you're leading.
Can I mention on that, Alex, too? Because, you know, you're right. You know, Republicans blame the Speaker. But the Speaker is in accord with moving forward with the Senate compromise, which is bipartisan. So it's hard to lay that at the hands of the Speaker when she's saying, let's move forward. And that's being rejected by Mitch McConnell.
All right. Let's talk for a moment about the House Intelligence Committee, which you will continue to lead. Of course, you've done that during the Trump administration, got a whole lot of attention for that. Now you're going to be doing it during the Biden administration. How does that role, how does the committee work change with this new president?
Well, you know, part of what we've been doing over the last couple of years, in addition to the very high-profile investigative work, is we did a two-year deep dive on China and what it will take for our intelligence agencies to reorient themselves to that rising challenge. So much of our resources have been directed to the terrorism threat, which continues, but we really need to address the challenge posed by China in space, on land, in the cyber realm, in technology. And that's going to require really turning this aircraft carrier around and making sure that we're prepared for to meet that rise. But it also means we need to continue examination of our relationship with the Gulf nations, with the and make sure that with respect to our theaters of war in Afghanistan and Iraq, as we draw down our troops, that we nonetheless have the intelligence we need to protect the country and keep it safe from any terrorism threats that may emanate from either of those places. So, you know, that's, you know, a lot of the bread and butter work that we do on the committee, and that's just going to intensify.
Now, speaking of China, your committee, in the news this week, we found out that a Chinese spy named Fang Fang was apparently targeting California Congressman Eric Swalwell, forged a professional relationship with him. When the FBI warned him, he cut off ties with her immediately. He is not accused of any wrongdoing. Yet the House Minority Leader, Kevin McCarthy of Bakersfield, said this week on Fox and Friends.
This man should not be in the Intel Committee. He's jeopardizing national security. What is being said in those meetings inside the SCIF that we don't want other people to hear or listen?
He criticized you in that interview as well. What's your response to Congressman McCarthy and to the bigger question about members of your committee apparently being targeted by China?
Well, there are members of Congress in both House and Senate who have been targeted by China. And on a bipartisan basis, we're notified when that happens. So all the faux outrage about this is nothing more than faux outrage. We were informed, you know, whenever there's a member that's the subject of these kind of approaches. As your report makes clear, Mr. Swalwell did everything right. There was nothing, no suggestion of any impropriety on his part. But I will say this in terms of Mr. McCarthy, what he's trying to do is really deflect attention from the problem that he has within his own conference, which is the election of QAnon supporters and adherents. Now, that is a security problem, but he would much rather talk about Eric Swalwell than he would about the QAnon members of his conference.
You said on the issue of China that that's one of the biggest threats that you are tackling on the Intelligence Committee, and you got to turn the aircraft carrier around. What specifically would you like to be seen done when it comes to the issue of China?
You know, we made a series of recommendations, some classified, some unclassified. But the long and the short of it is China has enormous economic resources and technological know-how that is really challenging us in innumerable ways. And we need to make sure that our intelligence community is oriented to that threat, that we have the resources, the language skills, the leadership to meet that challenge across every domain. That hasn't been the paramount focus on that hard target. We've been focused on other things, and we can't continue to sort of fight the last war, which is have so much of our focus be on the terror threat that we are not devoting the kind of resources, energy, and attention to this incredible rise of China and threat posed by that rise.
Let's talk for a moment about your future. We know that there's potentially some interest of you serving in the United States Senate. There's about to be an open Senate seat in California. Kamala Harris is going to become the vice president. Governor Newsom has a big decision ahead of him. There are some arguing that it should be an African-American. There are others arguing that it should be a Latino. But why not a Jew? you know, last week, Congresswoman Bass was on here and said I asked her what her pitch was. What's your pitch? Why should you be the next member of the United States Senate?
Well, I think that the governor is going to have a really tough choice on his hands among lots of good people who would serve honorably in the Senate. So I don't want to make a case for myself here. I'm confident he'll make a very good decision about any position he's got to fill, and he may have several to fill as it is. But that's a nice thing, frankly, about where we are as a party in California, which is we have a very deep bench with a lot of great people that could help meet the needs of the state. And I think the paramount responsibility, frankly, for anyone that the governor would be looking at is who's going to help get the state through the pandemic and help get our economy back on its feet. That really has to be all of our priority right now, and everything else is secondary.
That's a very diplomatic answer. Nicely done. Now, I want to take a moment to, you know, we like to have some fun and also reflect on some more personal stuff on this show. Happy Hanukkah to you. I know you posted a picture with your wife, Eve, celebrating. Even for those who aren't Jewish, it might be a good time for a celebration of light and hope, right? And of course, family. And as you reflect on this year and your family, what are you thinking about during this Hanukkah?
Well, you know, Hanukkah is also about resilience, about struggle and resilience against the odds. And, you know, I think how fortunate I am that we're a resilient country and that we're a resilient family and that we're getting through this. And I, you know, thank God that we're all healthy and hope we stay that way. But I look at it as a time to just enjoy something light, something delicious like latkes. But also following on Thanksgiving to reflect on what I have to be grateful for, and that's an awful lot.
Do you make latkes yourself?
I do not. I had a bad experience, not with latkes, but with deep frying. It's made me wary of going anywhere near hot oil.
Okay, well, that's probably smart. My mom and I make latkes together. My mom really does the work. But a few years ago, I made them on the air, so you see us making them here. So I guess we're going to have to send some to you.
Please, so, I think you will.
Yeah, my mom would be happy to do that. Happy Hanukkah to you and yours. Happy holiday season to everybody that is watching. Thank you, Congressman. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Our thanks to Congressman Schiff. Now, a conversation with Republicans headed to Congress. Michelle Steele from Orange County, the Orange County supervisor, who is now going to be in Congress. She defeated Harley Ruta in the 48th District. And David Valadao, who defeated T.J. Cox in the San Joaquin Valley in the central part of California. Both of them are guests this week on The Issue Is.
Welcome to you both. Thank you for being on The Issue Is for the first time. Congresswoman-elect Steele, let's begin with you. Why do you think you were able to win and sort of defy the trends that we've been seeing in California?
Lower taxes and less regulations for the businesses, so businesses can come back. And another thing is, as a chair of the county, that most important issue was public safety.
Yeah, of course, there was conversation about that defund the police effort as well. Congressman Valadao, what do you think was the key?
Obviously, over the last 2 years, I think there was a lot of buyer's remorse. They saw the division, they saw the back and forth, just nastiness that we're seeing across the country. And I think they spoke up clearly. Obviously, here in California, that was a strong message with the four seats. But across the country, we saw a difference.
And the biggest issue continues to be the coronavirus. What do you think, Congressman Valadao, is the most important thing that Congress can do going forward? Because a lot of folks are going to need a lot of help.
Well, stop the bickering. They're using the opportunity, this pandemic, as an excuse to pull, again, some political games with things that people desperately need. And even one of the members here in California, Katie Porter, had posted a video about it being a partisan wish list and a piece of legislation that should never see the light of day, because it is an absolute disaster for us to be going through this pandemic and to have Nancy Pelosi holding hostage the resources our communities need.
Congresswoman-elect, what do you think? You head there in January. What's the most important thing you want to get done when it comes to coronavirus?
I think you know what, everybody's waiting for vaccinations. So when vaccination comes, it's going to be relieved a little bit. But at the same time, then you know what we have to do is just open the businesses and let people work, because they cannot put their food on the table for their families.
I mean, there's no doubt that there are businesses that are really suffering, and there are a lot of questions about some of the science behind some of the lockdowns. But then there also is no doubt that we do have a coronavirus problem. I mean, you see the cases are exploding. In the San Joaquin Valley, we're seeing areas where they're basically running out of hospital beds, Congressman. So what do you say to those folks? How do we fix this? How do we get a handle on this issue?
Well, again, stop the partisan stuff. And pass legislation that's helpful. Now, as far as what to do in our communities, yes, the San Joaquin Valley and lots of parts of California are really struggling. As far as the open ICU beds, is a concerning number, and we have to be cognitive of that. Our parents are really struggling. A school district in my area has more kids failing than they've ever had. And to the point where they're giving kids opportunities to change classes at the last minute so they don't have an F on their transcripts moving forward. This is going to have a lasting impact on our children, and it's a scary situation. And Washington needs to lead by example.
Okay, so speaking on that issue of working across the aisle, are either of you ready to acknowledge that Joe Biden won the election?
You know what? Our President Trump, you know what? He has right to review everything because this every vote is very precious because this is a voice of people. So you know what? He's reviewing.
I appreciate you bringing that up because I'd like to address it as well. We have a couple races right now nationally, one in Iowa, one in New York, where especially the Iowa seat, it was actually certified and the person was elected to office. They're looking at challenging that race and we're actually preparing for a floor fight where Democrat leadership is planning on not seating this person who was actually elected. Now, as far as the president, yes, we all know that there is fraud out there. Do I believe there's enough to overturn the president's election right now or the vice president-elect's election? No, I don't. But I do believe we have a responsibility as American citizens to make sure that every single ballot is counted honestly and fairly in a transparent process. And I think that process is going forward as we speak. And at the end of the day, we'll see on January 20th. But I do believe that the election is pretty much over.
So you're saying that Joe Biden won the election?
As of right now, I do believe he did, yes.
Yeah. Michelle Steele, do you agree with that?
We're going to find out on December 14th.
Okay. Okay. This is your first time on this show, both of you, and we like to have some fun in addition to the political talk. We play a game called Personal Issues, where we get to know you guys a little bit better and get to know some of your favorites. Okokay, so we ready? Here we go. Congressman Valdea, we'll start with you. What's your favorite TV show?
Oh, right now, Yellowstone.
Yellowstone's really good. I started binging that recently. Ms. Steele.
You know what? Fox News. My husband comes home and he just turns Fox News every day and I don't watch. You know what? Let me change my mind because I like Blue Bloods.
And her husband, of course, is Sean Steele, who's a frequent guest here on The Issue Is. All right, now, Congresswoman-elect, to you, your favorite musical artist or band?
I love those bands like K-pop and other stuff.
One you've never heard of, Poor Man's Poison.
All right, and final question, Michelle Steele, who is your role model?
Secretary Elaine Chao. She is Department of Transportation right now, Secretary Chai. I've known her more than 30 years. She's my mentor, and she is so amazing woman, and I want to be like her.
And to you, Congressman, finally, who's your role model?
You know, this one for me is easy. It's my dad. I think my wife married me thinking I was going to be like my dad, and I'll never live up to those shoes. Immigrated to this country, didn't speak the language, worked in a processing plant down there in Southern California before he came up to the Valley to start his own business that us kids can work with alongside of him. Great man and someone that I wish to be like someday.
Mm. An immigrant from Portugal, right? And that is a big part of the all the Republicans who flip seats all have immigrant backgrounds as well. Sort of a new face of the Republican Party, I think, is part of the message as well. Thank you all, and best of luck to you in Washington. Stay in touch. We'd love to have you back on the show. Our thanks to Congresswoman-elect Michelle Steele, to Congressman Valadeo, and to Congressman Adam Schiff. And our thanks to you for listening. Happy Hanukkah if you celebrate that. And even if you don't, it's a good time to celebrate the concepts of light and hope and resilience. We all could use a little bit more of that in 2020. I'm Alex Michelson. Next week on The Issue Is, a special debate once again between Tommy Lahren and Brian Tyler Cohen. Last time they were on, it was our highest rated episode ever. So we'll see what happens this time around. But for now, I'm Alex Michelson. See you soon.